but because this book is all about God crying out to His people and them not listening. And tonight there's more of that. And also just a reminder that, again, it comes back to having a right or wrong attitude toward God's precious Word. And unfortunately, Israel had a wrong attitude toward God's Word, and that was a big part of their problem. So beginning in verse 3 tonight of chapter 8 in Jeremiah, the Bible says, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast the seat, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." So rejected the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful for this privilege and pray you'd use your word in our lives. Guide us in your truth. And Lord, may we lift up Jesus, our Savior. And may we open our hearts, Lord, and allow you to speak to us now. We give you this service and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you can see, the heart of the problem is that Israel had a wrong attitude toward the Word of God. And it resulted in, of course, wrong behavior, which it always will. As it said there in verse 9, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And that was the problem. But notice what the what the outcome of this wrong attitude was in this passage. Of course, as he mentions there in verse 3, all the places whither I've driven them. By the time Jeremiah wrote these words, Israel had already been dispersed. It was only Judah that was still left in the land. And it won't be long after this was spoken till Nebuchadnezzar comes in and even takes Judah. But God is already dispersing them for what? Their disobedience. And they had a wrong attitude toward the word, which led to wrong behavior. He talks about verse 5, their perpetual backsliding. And that's what's going to happen if our attitude toward the word is not what God wants. There's going to be a perpetual backsliding. So let's walk through and see what the symptoms are, if you will, of a wrong attitude toward the word. Number 1, verse 5, they refuse to return. There's going to be an attitude of rebellion. If our attitude toward the word is not right, we're all rebellious at heart. That's just part of our nature. And that rebellious nature is going to creep up its head if we're not constantly, if you will, battling it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the Bible tells us, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, in Proverbs 29:1. So God says that we cannot harden our neck. We cannot stand and say, I refuse. We must, as we talked this morning, we must soften our heart and must be willing to submit and humble ourselves. But if our attitude to the word is wrong, number one, this attitude of rebellion. Number 2, verse 6, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. As we talked this morning, not an unwillingness to acknowledge sin. And this is what happens when our attitude to the Word is wrong. We aren't listening to the Word. And so our attitude towards sin is, what have I done? Do I have sin in my life? And it's the Word of God that reveals the sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit uses the Word as that mirror, as we find in James chapter 1, to reflect back the problems in our lives. If we're not in the Word, then this will be our attitude. They're saying, what have I done? These are the very people that are worshiping idols. They're not caring about what God said in His Word. And they're saying to God, what have I done? And that this is not what God wants. As we looked this morning, God wants us to be like David and say, I acknowledged my sin. As we read in Psalm 32:5, or in Psalm Proverbs 28:13, where He said that He confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So two of the symptoms, number one, a rebellious spirit. Number two, an unwillingness to acknowledge sin. But then number three, look at verse 7. It says, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Now you've heard me say this before, but this is the verse that kind of backs up what I've said, and that is, all of God's creation obeys except man. And that's what He's saying here. He says, I created the stork to do a certain thing, and she does what she's supposed to do. I created the turtle to do a certain thing, and he does what he's supposed to do. I created the crane and the swallow, and they do what they're supposed to do. I created man, and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. All the rest of God's creation obeys except man. And so what another third symptom of having a wrong attitude toward the Word is this attitude of disobedience. All of God's creation was created to do a certain thing. Man was created to fellowship with and serve God. But for the most part, man doesn't do that. Man does what man wants to do. Look at the world. They don't care what God thinks. For the most part, they don't care what God wants. They just do what they want to do. As we read in Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So God wants us to be obviously obedient, but if we're not having a right attitude toward the Word, we will be the opposite. We're told in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children. That's what God wants. So three already, a rebellious spirit, not willing to acknowledge sin, and outright disobedience. Number four, verse 8, how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made He it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Now this is a scary one. If our attitude toward the Word is not right for too long of a time, our attitude toward the Word actually eventually becomes, you know, God's Word really isn't that important. Which is what they're saying here. They're saying, in vain made He it. I mean, what a thing to say. That God gave us the Word in vain. In other words, it really isn't that important. There really are Christians out there that's what they feel in their hearts. God's Word really isn't that important. If you go to Zechariah 7, we'll see a better explanation of this attitude in Israel's walk. This ultimate attitude that the Word of God is just not important. Notice Zechariah 7, verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They stopped their ears. They made their heart like a stone, lest they should hear the law. So if our attitude toward the Word is wrong for too long of a time, we eventually have this behavior that reflects an attitude of, you know, the Word of God really isn't that important. But you know, the Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination, Proverbs 28:9. Even Jesus, when He was on earth, He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word Hath one that judgeth him, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In John 12:48. He said, if you're going to reject my word, that's the very same word that's going to be the standard of judgment at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment. It's going to come down to the word. Yet there are Christians today, believe it or not, who don't think the word's that important. Say, how could that be? Well, the Bible said in the last days, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And the average Christian today, that's in 2 Timothy, let's look at it, chapter 4. The average Christian today, and when I use the word Christian, I use the word kind of lightly, 2 Timothy 4. The average Christian today, when they get up on Sunday morning and they go to church, and they walk in the door, they get a lot of entertainment, they get a lot of music, they get a lot of emotionalism, maybe they'll even have an experience of some sort, and then they'll go home. And they might have even heard a very inspiring speech from a great orator. But they didn't get the word. And so that time is already here. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. There would come a time when God's people would rather hear fables than His Word. I think we have already reached that time in the church age to where the basic attitude is the Word really isn't that important. I have a lot of people of recent, over the past couple of years, that say, you're the only church in town left that we can find that has a Sunday night service. 20 years ago, most churches had a Sunday night service. Do you know how rare they are now? How can that be? Oh, we don't need Sunday night service. We just have activities and we do home groups or whatever. And then a Wednesday night service? Forget it. Nobody. You know why? Because this isn't important. That's why. If the Word of God isn't the focus, what's the point of going to church more than once a week? Think about it. If you're only going there to get entertained and to hear a great story and to hear a great fable, then why do you have to go multiple times? But if the focus is getting fed this, then it's different. You see, the perspective's completely different. And that's why you see it happening. It's not just in New Zealand. It's all across the world. People are shutting down all these services because why are we having this other service? We already had our party this morning. Why do we need a second party tonight? And that's what happens because it's not about the Word anymore. So if we have a wrong attitude toward the Word, ultimately our behavior is going to reflect an attitude that the Word really isn't that important. And yet the Word really is important. I actually had somebody, I've never had this before, send me an email from our Tear Out flyer. And in our flyer, we talk about how our focus is the Word of God. And he actually said in the email that our focus is wrong. He said, you know, when we get to heaven, our focus is going to be worshiping Jesus Christ. So that should be our focus down here. In other words, we really shouldn't be focusing on the Word of God. We should just be focusing on worship. And that was his argument, because that's what we're going to do in heaven. I wrote back and I said, that is what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to be worshiping the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not here with us right now physically in the flesh, but he's here in the form of his Word, because he is the Word. And then I gave him about 30 scriptures, but because there's plenty of them that talk about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We could go on all evening about the importance of this book in our lives, but that's what's happened. The attitude today is, you know, the Bible's not really that important. You know how many times people come for the first time and they don't have a Bible because they're used to going to church where they don't need one. And they look around, everybody's got a Bible, and say, why do all these people have Bibles? Because they don't need them in their church. Because they're not going to open it anyway. Whoever's speaking is just going to get up there and give a great speech or read off of something that the headquarters sent, if it's like Anglican or Lutheran or whatever. They don't need their Bible. So the time has already come, but let's not let it happen to us. Our attitude needs to be, this book is critical. This book is important. We're to be meditating in it, memorizing it, reading it, studying it, as he told us, study to show thyself approved. So notice verse 9 of our passage. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they've rejected the word of the Lord. There's the root of the problem. They've rejected the word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. Well, you and I know that the Bible clearly teaches that true wisdom only comes from God. Right? Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have wisdom outside of God and outside of His Word. And man today is seeking wisdom in the wrong places. And of course, they're not going to find it because it doesn't exist. You know, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 3:18, if any man seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians 2:4, not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. 2 Corinthians 1:12, not with fleshly wisdom. So there is other wisdom out there. Man's wisdom, fleshly wisdom, worldly wisdom, but they're not God's wisdom. And as he says here, they've rejected the word of the Lord. And what was the end result? A hardened neck, not willing to acknowledge sin, disobedience. This perspective that God's word isn't important. And look at the last one. This is the really scary one. Verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. You know what God's saying there, don't you? That their conscience isn't bothered by sin anymore. That God words it in the New Testament about the church age in 1 Timothy 4, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. That's what he says, 1 Timothy 4:2. Their conscience seared with the hot iron. So we've already reached this, I mean, in a general sense in the world today, but let's never reach it on a personal level. We must always be focused on how critical this book is in our lives. Because if we have this attitude that it's not important, if we don't understand that we need to be in this book, and we need to be listening to it, we need to be obeying it, then what's going to happen is it's going to lead us down this path that it led Israel down. This path of stubbornness and rebellion and a unwillingness to acknowledge the importance of the Word. And then ultimately, this seared conscience. Neither can they blush. In other words, sin didn't even bother them. They had reached a point where sin didn't bother them. And that's not a good point to be. So as we saw this morning, humble themselves. That's where it starts. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So they rejected the word of the Lord. And as you'll see as we walk through Jeremiah, the result was a nation that was disobedient and a nation that ultimately God had no choice but to chastise. And he even used a worldly king to do it, named Nebuchadnezzar. And that was 2,500 years ago. And they're still dispersed. How sad. And it all came down to their attitude toward this. So our attitude toward this must be the same as God's attitude, and that is that this is critical and key to our Christian walk, God's Word. As you know, when you look at the Old Testament, you look at Israel, when they were in the desert and God rained that manna down from heaven, he said, I want you to go out every day and collect the manna. And that manna pictured Jesus, who's the bread of life. Amen? But the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus and the Word are one and the same. Matter of fact, in Revelation 19, when he returns on a white horse, the Bible says his name is called the Word of God. That's one of Jesus' names, the Word of God. So every time we open this book, we're feasting on Jesus Christ in a spiritual sense. And that's what he meant when he told us to partake of the bread of life. He wasn't talking about a wafer. He was talking about his word. So we need to be feeding on it every day and having the right attitude toward it. Never, ever allow the devil to trick you into thinking it's not important, because it is. Amen? Let's pray.